U.S. economy expanded at a slightly faster 2% annual rate from July through September. Mitt Romney is unimpressed.
I'm Peter King in Ames, Iowa, with temperatures in the bone-chilling 30s.
Well, it's a little cool and a little windy today. Thank you for being here.
Hundreds turned out for what the Romney campaign billed as a major speech on the economy. The only new material appeared to be his reaction to today's government economic growth figures, which he called discouraging.
That's what 4 years of President Obama's policies have produced. Americans are ready for change, for growth, for jobs, for more take-home pay, and we're going to bring it to them.
This was Romney's second Iowa trip in 3 days. Now it's back to Ohio, where he spent all of yesterday.
President Obama's at the White House doing some interviews.
Governor Romney's offering is a return to policies that have failed us in the past. He's now talking about them as big changes. They're not big changes. They're a relapse of things that haven't worked for American families for over a decade now.
That's him on the Michael Smirkanish radio show. Mr. Obama campaigns tomorrow in New Hampshire, evidence that every electoral vote will count. Heads up for Hurricane Sandy. It's heading north after causing widespread damage in the Caribbean. Meanwhile, a wintry storm is moving across the country from the west, and frigid air is streaming south from Canada. James Franklin's with the National Hurricane Center.
Somebody is going to get a significant surge event out of this system, but it's just too soon to say who that's going to be.
Paul Flanagan's the fire chief in Winthrop, Massachusetts. He's telling his people to get ready.
The storm is still 900 miles away, but we're very fortunate to have a heads up like this and be prepared.
Meteorologists say these weather systems could meet around New Jersey or New York early next week, possibly bringing heavy rain, high winds, flooding, tornadoes, coastal surges, maybe even snow. Widespread power outage is possible. Microsoft is out with its new Windows 8 operating system and Surface tablet, as it's called. CNET senior editor Seth Rosenblatt's been test driving.
The big changes with Windows 8 are that it's touch optimized. It does work with a mouse and keyboard. You can split the screen between different apps.
He says there is a learning curve here, so plan accordingly. WCBS reporter Irene Cornell says police have arrested a New York man who once employed Mark Zuckerberg for an alleged scheme to defraud Facebook and the chief executive out of billions.
According to these federal charges, 39-year-old Paul Seglia doctored, destroyed, and fabricated evidence in order to bring a phony lawsuit against Facebook and its founder, Mark Zuckerberg. Federal prosecutors call this an attempt at a multi-billion dollar fraud.
The pro hockey season is disappearing before our eyes. Because of a labor dispute, the National Hockey League has now canceled all regular season games through next month. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up about 15 points. The S&P 500 is up a fraction. This is CBS News.
Come into the Home Depot and discover the new exclusive line of Husky hand tools. They're improved, affordable, and guaranteed forever. Start with a three-piece plier and wrench set for the new lower price of just $9.88. Add a few new tools to your workbench, even though your workbench may wear out long before these new improved Husky hand tools do. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
GoToMeeting is the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online. Here's MindJet's Chief Marketing Officer, Yasha Kakis-Wolf, telling us why he believes in GoToMeeting.
For us, using GoToMeeting is our answer. It's the way that we move forward. It's what allows us to be successful. We're able to share the ideas, the plans with everybody, inside of our company and out of our company.
Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and enter promo code 45 for a free 45-day trial. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing.
Some encouraging news about that Pakistani girl the Taliban tried to kill. CBS News correspondent Vicky Barker says she's doing better at a hospital in England, and the girl's father has reason to be hopeful.
Zayuddin Yousafzai says his daughter Malala's survival has been miraculous. The gunman had been shooting to kill, the Taliban's punishment for defying their strictures against educating girls.
The agent of Satan. He attacked, but after that I found angels on all my side.
Pakistanis have united in their horror of the attack, he says. He says Malala has been recovering at an encouraging speed. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Police in Palm Bay, Florida say a 19-year-old's recovering after a botched attempt to jump over a moving car. Florida Today quotes police as saying he was attempting the jump for a video to show off his athletic skills to college football recruiters. One brother was filming as another brother drove the car he tried to jump over unsuccessfully. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
If Wells Fargo is giving their customers a free credit score, it's definitely worth looking into.
As part of our limited-time promotion, we're also giving customers a complimentary credit report. We can talk about ways your credit score affects your ability to borrow and the interest rates you'll pay.
I like that.
Stop into Wells Fargo from now until November 15, 2012, and ask a banker about how to get your personal access code to obtain a free credit score and complimentary credit report. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. See a banker for specific promotion details.
The Home Depot has a new lower price on Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch insulation. Now just $11.87 a roll. It's softer and a lot easier to handle. And the new lower price? Well, that's a lot easier on your wallet. For a better insulation job, start with better insulation. Get your hands on Owens Corning EcoTouch, now only $11.87 a roll. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
It is Friday, and we're going to be talking to Karen Vealey here when she shows up. And we're going to talk about CalcoSnews.com and what's going on this week.
And now, here's Bill Binica.
She's not here yet. But hey. After the ribbon cutting, did I say that right? Can I try that again? After the ribbon. I used to always be able to say the word ribbon until today. After the ribbon-cutting ceremony on Saturday, the Willow Road interchange will be open. That's all. It'll be open.
Go, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
Mo ribs, Mo chicken, Mo pork, Mo beef, Mo burgers, Mo onion rings, Mo potato chips, Mo beans, Mo fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, Mo tater salad, Mo house salad, Mo Cobb salad, Mo Caesar salad, and Mo's Calypso salad. Mo sodas, Mo brewskis, Mo lemonade, Mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Opsis in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and at Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, babies.
Mo barbecue, please.
I know that when you hear the name Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, you immediately think of great flushing Toto toilets. Or maybe it's our state-of-the-art Growy kitchen and bath faucets. Or maybe it's those tiny massaging bubbles of a Jason Comfort Air Bath. But here's something you may not know. We have the most fabulous line of cabinet and door hardware on the Central Coast. Knobs and pulls created for whatever look you desire. Rustic, modern, craftsman, Asian, and durable, long-lasting finishes like Venetian bronze, brushed nickel, distressed copper, or even cloisonne. The choices are endless, the quality superb. You'll find that Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the county's widest selection of bathroom vanity cabinets in all types of designs. Roomy linen storage cabinets, beveled mirror medicine cabinets, and handcrafted wall mirrors. That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
And things are on sale. This is the last weekend, last day, last couple days. Everything's on sale, and you got the big clearance and everything. And so you have to get in there and clear. Okay? All right, I just want to let you know. All right. You're with Bill Benninger. This is Talk Is Cheap, your friends and neighbors network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. And we're going to do our history and our birthdays and stuff according to this review today. A highlight in history: on October 26th, 1942, Japanese planes badly damaged the aircraft carrier USS Hornet in the Battle of the Santa Cruz Islands during World War II. The Hornet sank early the next morning. The battle itself ended in a tactical victory for Japan, but ultimately a strategic win for the Allies. On this day in 1881, the gunfight at the OK Corral took place in Tombstone, Arizona. 1958, Pan American Airways flew its first Boeing 707 jetliner from New York to Paris. It took 8 hours and 41 minutes. Our birthdays today. Born today, actor Bob Hoskins is 70. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton is 65. Actor Carrie, I never know how to say her name. I've never, E-L-W-E-S. I have no idea. Carrie is 50. And country singer Keith Urban is 45. Happy birthday to them and to you. If it's your birthday today, have a nice birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
3 Tesla, 204 coils, 48 simultaneous channels, 5 times faster, 8 times the resolution, and wide open enough to hold a 550-pound person. What does this describe? The new ultra-high-field MRI just installed at San Luis Diagnostic Center. It's the gold standard in diagnostic imaging, previously only available at research hospitals. So don't settle for an outdated closed-in scanner with half the strength when you can choose the new ultra-high-field MRI at San Luis Diagnostic Center. If you live in North or South County, drive a little and get a whole lot more. Lower cost, more comfort, shorter exam time, and image quality never before seen in San Luis Obispo County. For your next MRI, don't settle for an exam on a 10-year-old machine. Insist on San Luis Diagnostic Center's brand-new Siemens Skyra. Call 542-9700. The choice is yours.
We are here. Hi, Garsh. Here's Karen Vealey with CalcoastNews.com. Week in Review. Hi, Karen. Nice to see you.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. All right. We've had a week here for sure. We've had a busy week. So let us begin. There's about 19 directions we could go in. But let's start
with the mayoral.
Let's start with him.
Jeff Rigaud. And interestingly enough, there was a forum about a week and a half ago, and CalCoast News put up a video of the forum showing that this candidate was so very, very drunk that he was it was just completely trashed during the debate forum that was put on by CPR 2012 in Paso Robles. This is a Paso Robles candidate forum. So we wrote a little story about it, and then another radio station, KPRL, went after us aggressively, saying, how dare them talk about it? He was on cold medicine. The guy is a prince. And then the Tribune, this is a man that was so drunk he couldn't answer questions hardly. On the way out, he turns around and yells, I'm only doing this because I want lights in my children's field. And the Tribune writes, he's doing this because he cares about our youth. He's not even allowed within 100 yards of his own children because of his past behavior. So CalCoast News, we decided we're going to go ahead and tell the public who this guy is because he's getting support from other media. Anyway, Jeff Rigaud has a very long criminal history. And just in September 2012, he had on five different days he was arrested, four misdemeanors and one felony. He was also accused of another felony, but the DA did not. I saw that report, and I don't think the DA is going to go with that one. That was a breaking and entering. But to give you an idea of some of the reports, one of them, he was over, he got home and he was took a gun, a 9mm allegedly, walked across the street first and told one of the neighbors that he was angry at another neighbor and he was going to go take care of it. And then he pulled something out of his waistband. It was kind of dark and started walking across the street. She had two 14-year-olds with her. She quickly ran them into the house to get out of the fray. He goes over to a gentleman's house across the street from him, starts calling him, I'm not going to say.
Okay.
A pretty rude sexual connotation, a rude name. This man has a family, but a rude name meaning you're gay, which is okay. And saying, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you, get out here. He peeks out his daughter's window, and he's sitting out there waving a 9mm, telling him he wants to kill him. Well, this isn't the first incident, according to the police report, of this man waving a gun and saying he's going to kill someone. And the police said it was a credible threat, and the guy did fear for his life. So he was arrested for that one. Now, interesting enough, back in August, there was a restraining order taken out on him. He can't go within 100 yards of his ex-wife. He cannot go within 100 yards of his children. He cannot contact third parties. He cannot call their school and ask how they're doing. He cannot go to their baseball games. He cannot go within 100 yards of the family puppy, or nor can he threaten to kill, maim, or harm the puppy, which I've never read that one in the report before. He's got it. No more puppy abuse.
This guy's a winner.
So that's the interesting thing is, part of that, he was told to turn in his two guns within 24 hours to sell them and then give proof of the sale to the court. He never did. So he's still got these guns. He's still out in the neighborhood and out around threatening people with guns, and he's not giving them in, and he keeps getting bailed out of jail and rearrested. The other arrest, arrest number two, and again, this is the reason we're talking about this. This is a mayoral candidate that's been talked about fairly highly in the other press as if he is a viable candidate for mayor of Paso Robles. His other arrest, he was driving down, headed home in Paso, and just turned his car off, left the car running, put it in park with lights on, and fell across the console. Police came and turned the car off. Took forever to wake him up. They got him out. They tried to do a field sobriety, but he fell, almost hit his head against the curb. They caught him. They decided he was too drunk to do a field sobriety. They tried to do a pat-down, but they found out then that he'd peed himself in the car. And he had a .221 blood alcohol. That was arrest number two. The three other arrests all have to do with harassing an ex-wife who has a restraining order. And for one of the harassments, he just kept calling her house, according to the policeman that went. He was looking on the phone, and it was repeated phone calls coming in. He answered a couple of them and was explaining, you can't do this. You've got to leave her alone. You can't keep calling. And he basically said, told the policeman to F off. But again, the interesting thing is, he's running for council or mayor, and he was seen completely out of control at a forum where you had a Tribune reporter, you had a Cal Coast News reporter, and you had a KPRL caster there miking the whole thing. He actually went after one of Cal Coast News staff who laughed in the audience and was like, you laughing at me? Scared him. You know, we had a couple people there from Cal Coast News. He was aggressive to a number of people, and I was intimidated. I was actually sitting back in my seat saying, please don't punch him. He's only in his 20s.
Wow.
But it was, for a mayor candidate, I think that the other media fell short in not telling the public what happened at that forum. Now, Dan did call Tanya Strickland, and she said, I wasn't there to report on actions like that. I was there to report on their views. But I think the public has a right to know. And again, I don't think walking out the door screaming, I want to get lights on a field, means that you're a supporter of youth.
Neither. And I have to say this. This is why we have Cal Coast News that does what Cal Coast News does, because not many other people are interested in doing it at all. And the other thing, too, is I think that he should try to be the police chief, because the mayor thing doesn't seem the right profile at all. Anyway, this guy's something. So anyway, and he's He's a write-in candidate for mayor. I can't not imagine how many people are going to write him in, but okay, there he is.
And here is the issue. Some people in Paso, I was up interviewing a couple people this morning. They actually think that with the payoff to the chief of police, and this is one of the things that came out during the forum. I asked Nick Gilman, I said, because there had been, they had said in the newspaper before that the council read the report. I had heard they hadn't. This is the report into Lisa Solomon, the chief of police accused of sexually touching her men on the job. I had asked before, and they have said before that they saw it. Nick Gilman, during the forum, told the audience of about 75 people, we never were able to see the report. So the city council voted to give her a $250,000 payoff without seeing the report into allegations that she was sexually assaulting her men and committing a crime. And the public is fairly angry, and they wanted change. And the issue is, some people think that this guy was thrown in to make sure that things stay the same. Paso's kind of an interesting town. They spend a lot of money. For example, a lot of cities give a little bit to the Chamber of Commerce and a little bit to the Downtown Association. They give to their Downtown Association, which is Main Street. They give to their chamber, and they also give $80,000 a year to the Wine Alliance. And there are people there saying, we are having a lot of trouble, and that think that, you know, they're trying to keep the powers that be in, because Gary Nemeth has said, if I get in and we can't do roads and we don't have enough police, we're taking away these special interests until the economy's better. So there are people that do not want Gary Nemeth, mayor of Paso.
Well, let me ask this question. So this Wine Alliance, they push the wine trade in Paso, I take it?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, but do they take the funds and then use them on advertising, like in Sunset Magazine or whatever?
I'm not sure exactly how they spend the fund. It's usually supposed to be for marketing and different group get-togethers and staff time. But what some of the residents there are saying, hey, wait a minute, we don't have enough police and safety going right now. Why should we provide money for an industry that's doing fairly well? Shouldn't they be doing it? And that's
okay. And that's a legitimate concern, I think. And Paso, they just had the thing that TripAdvisor named them the sixth most desirable wine location in the United States to go to. The interesting thing is that, you know, what has happened in Paso, I think, that we are all noticing is prioritizing things. And it's curious. I mean, Paso Robles is very curious about what they prioritize and how they do it. And so, and that has to do with the city council and the city manager. It has to. And so, you know, that's what people should really be looking into and saying, okay, this is what's going on. Gary Nemeth wants, my impression of Gary Nemeth is he wants to bring some responsibility back to what's going on in Paso Robles, and people aren't happy about, well, the people that are already in power are not happy with that.
He absolutely said he wants, the first thing he wants to do is try to fire the city manager. He wants to not renew the city attorney's contract, and he wants to stop all special interests till they have enough police on the street.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's running on a not very popular platform with some. And there's so much anger over this payoff to the chief of police and years of allegations of the sexual assaults and sexual abuse of officers being ignored, that some think anybody that's a newcomer has a fairly good shot there. But when you have two newcomers and one incumbent, it splits a vote. And I did ask Jeff Renaud, why did you do this? Why did you run? He said, well, some very wealthy families in the area and some very important people asked me to run. And, you know, I can't imagine that people do not know his criminal history. It goes back to the 80s. I found arrests for selling stolen property he knew was stolen, buying it, purchasing stolen property with an idea to sell. You know, he's just got an unusual
background.
Poor background of, I found more, and I just, in my searches, I found more than 10 misdemeanor arrests and one felony.
All right, let's do another thing. First off, this is because this is local news today, and you need to investigate this. When I turn on my computer at home, the National Weather Service weather comes up. The very first thing is what I see in the day, so I know what the weather's going to be. And it said that we were having winds of 9 miles an hour with gusts up to 19 miles per hour, which leads me to believe there's another little there's another berg out there somewhere called San Luis Obispo besides ours, because the wind was blowing at 40 miles an hour outside my window. Did you experience a great deal of wind last night?
I didn't notice.
You didn't notice? Until as soon as a chair finally slammed in the side of my house, then I noticed. I was like, you know, okay, I was sleeping pretty good till then, but then it woke me up.
Do you know what I did notice? I was driving down to a printing shop in Pismo, and while I was driving down, I looked over at the Oceano Dunes, and I have from the highway going through Pismo, the dunes were just a giant dust storm. So I do think, I did notice that. It was very striking, the amount of sand blowing that day.
Now, here's what's, what day was that?
That was yesterday. Okay. Yesterday, probably about 3:30, 4:00.
So now here's the question that one would have to ask in this circumstance, and I don't know. I mean, I don't have the answer. I'm not a scientist, yeah. And I don't know anything about it. But when you have katabatic winds that are blowing offshore, and they're blowing out to the ocean, basically, does... The question then becomes, I'm not sure which way the wind's blowing specifically out of. It may not be directly out of the east, but it is somewhere out of the east. And, you know, does that blow it up on the mesa or not?
Now, I don't know. They have said that those dunes have been blowing for, you know, decades.
Yeah.
Centuries, actually.
Yeah, probably.
You know, it's one of the heaviest dunes, you know, the ripples in the dunes that changes. There's pictures going back and showing that the dunes are always changing as the wind blows. I'm not sure. I think I don't think it always blows back in the mesa, but I think a lot of times it does. Remember, they put the eucalyptus trees up to put a blockage, and they took them down. It was kind of strange.
Oh, they're non-native. Somebody probably was involved in that thing because they're non-native. You can't be having eucalyptus trees. They're European. All right, so who knows about that? All right, let's talk about other things that are going on. We have a John Ashbaugh seems to be in the middle of it seems to be an overdone brouhaha to me, but you've said that this is finable offenses, you know, by using a city computer to communicate with other people about election business.
And, you know, I remember back, I think it was 05 or 06, Bordenaro was running, Tom Bordenaro, the county assessor. And he did some similar things. He immediately apologized. He said it wasn't going to happen again, and he stopped. And the reason is it gives an unfair advantage to an elected official to be able to send something from their city email. I'm a city council member, and it's illegal. It's absolutely illegal. So the city council warned them to stop, make sure you don't do it. And after the stories came out and John Ashbaugh explained it, he sent three more emails about campaigning to Steve Barish, and I think they were all three to Steve Barish. And the interesting thing was, this had just happened. I did ask him about it, and he goes, well, I don't know if it's really wrong. But then the city attorney sent him an email just really chastising him and telling him follow the rules. But, I mean, the rules are there. There's reasons for these rules.
No, I understand that. And here's the thing. While this is not terribly egregious, someone could, you know, take advantage of their position, you know, and use city. I mean, you could basically run a whole campaign on the city's computers if you wanted to.
And the other interesting thing is he was responsible for some of these laws. He was the law that you can't take more than $200, and then he's taking more than $200 from Adam Hill. And then the other part of that law, which he didn't follow, if you do take more than $200, I think you have to be fined three times the total amount, and you have to send that to the city clerk. So he sends out an email, I fix it, I sent $30 back to Adam Hill. Well, he was behind putting this ordinance together, and that's not how the ordinance reads.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the interesting thing. I went to the court hearing yesterday where they were trying to get the fees for the two attorneys, Stu Jenkins and Sara Rizzo, for the Homeless Alliance. And I noticed talking to the different council members, oh, we're in the right here because we should be able to bar people from sleeping on our streets. That's not the issue. What the issue is your ordinance was illegal. You can absolutely bar people from sleeping on your streets. You got to put up signage and pass an ordinance that will pass the smell test. You know, so it was just kind of surprising. They're all standing behind it. They're all standing behind the city attorney, absolute faith in her in this. And you know, as I'm sitting here watching this, I've dealt with the city attorney on a number of issues.
But here's a problem. Let me ask you. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but let me ask this question. You have a contract with an attorney that becomes your city attorney. Aren't you depending on that person to have knowledge of what's legal and illegal and you can and you can't? I mean, isn't that what you would assume?
Well, you know, she speaks very, very well. She's very articulate, dresses well, has the right look, I guess.
So far, so good.
But, you know, as I, when you have someone like Stu Jenkins came up and he says, the new ordinance is okay except for these two issues here don't appear to be legal. Why don't you look at these? And they say, she goes, oh, no, it's perfect, and they're going to change it. And they're not going to change it. They're going to end up with another lawsuit. This is, you know, I'm just surprised that there is such blind faith. And the reason I say that is I've been writing about hazardous waste issues with the city for almost a year now. And I have probably 20, 30 emails from the city management and the city attorney where their story changes repeatedly. Oh, we didn't do anything wrong. Oh, we did do something wrong. Oh, you know. Yeah, some people may go to jail, but, you know, it shouldn't be that big a deal. Oh, we haven't heard anything. And it's, you know, it's a complete fabric. You know, I would think that at some point, instead of just believing everything the city attorney says, the city council in January, when they were told in an email that I have a copy of that some employees are facing criminal action, should they have said maybe that employee shouldn't be a manager? Maybe he shouldn't get a promotion this year. Maybe we shouldn't have that guy running that department. I find it stunning that everyone says, oh, it's not my job. I just have to wait till there's arrests and then we'll talk about it. You know, and I've talked to other people around the state, and they say usually when this happens, people are not running departments anymore.
Well, and here's the thing, too. Here's the sad part of it. If your city attorney's wrong and then you get sued over that, you know, that's where it's a problem for the city. So in that way, if you're a city council person to me, you should be a watchdog for your city attorney to say, well, wait a minute, if we're getting sued and they're winning, then there's something wrong.
Well, it was explained to them that they really would have won if they kept fighting it, because they said that one of the criminal case judge had told someone that he was going to rule on their part. I had heard that he had said something about one motion that was filed by another person regarding this. One of the homeless people had filed on their own before the attorneys got involved, and he was going to throw that motion out. He did not say he was going to rule on behalf of the city against the homeless.
Well, and this lawsuit, it will end up, if the attorneys get paid with this, you get paid how much money?
These attorneys are, I think they're asking for 130 or 140. The other attorney, just her cost up to some date in July, was already, remember, you have a whole city attorney group working on it, and they hired an outside attorney. They've already paid her, I think, $131,000, and they still owe her for more work. So she's probably going to be up $150,000 to $200,000. And that's the other issue. They it's okay to pay this person out of area. Now, what the judge said, when it went in, he goes, I'm going to tell you where I'm leaning right now. I'm leaning that they deserve fees. And the way the law reads, if you won the case, you deserve fees, and if it did go into mediation, case law shows that even if you know that you went through mediation, if it appears that you got what you're asking for, you won. So they went in front and they said, we got it. And he goes, I am looking at the amount, though. But then when they brought up, hey, they paid their attorney more than, you know, or about what we're asking for, we won't know until for about a week, but I think it'll be very, very interesting. But instead of arguing about the amount, Christine Dietrich focused on the fact that she still said she won. And the council still walked outside saying we won. And again, my idea here is, why is everything staff and management said looked at as absolute gospel truth? The other issue is, and I know this is not a big issue to some, I'm telling people, watch what happens with the city of SLO over before the first of the year. I bet you people are arrested, and I bet you some fines come down regarding what they've been doing with hazardous waste and agreements that they've made to do things. They're under a stormwater permit plan, which they get financing to do, and basically it is paperwork. It's making sure that you're training your employees to be good stewards of groundwater, this type of thing, and keeping records of checking to make sure things are done. The state came in, and they did really bad on their audit. I just read an email from city manager Katie Lichtig, I think it was a month ago, after this audit was already in, and she's still claiming, oh, it was wonderful, we did great. Just because you said you did great, if the regulator said you didn't, shouldn't that mean something? So then I get an email. I asked Christine Dietrich, the city attorney, who told me to ask her I said, you know, these manifests you gave me don't match what you were what you sent the state. And could you explain the discrepancy? And I said, I asked the state this question, and they answered this way. Could you explain to me why you guys are doing it this way? She writes back that I must have cut and paste wrong, and I must have added words to their statement, and this and that. And it was so hard to understand that she couldn't even respond to my questions. And she's told me that it's my fault they're getting looked at because I opened this stuff up. Sure, I did. I broke the story. It's still not my fault that you guys poured toxic substances out near a creek.
Wow.
That is not, absolutely, this is very angry, very, I'm not going to answer your questions because this is something, you know, you're doing type thing. Amazing.
Well, the interesting thing is the people that manage and govern and do all this thing with the city of San Luis Obispo, and we've talked about this, you know, they've been on a very, very long leash for a very long time. There just hasn't been people doing, you know, investigative reporting. And so I think, you know, they're going to react. I'm not surprised how they're reacting. I think that that's, I would say, even though you say, well, you know, if you know that it's wrong, you should say it's wrong. I don't think they're prepared to really react that way yet. They will be, you know, if these things start going down like they're going down, they're going to start to say, well, wait a minute, we have to, you know, look at what we're doing in a whole nother way and what we're saying in a whole nother way, I would think.
But don't you think just the fact that criminal investigators from the DTSC and the EPA took over an office in Firehouse One, and I think they stayed for over a month interviewing and going through documents, they would have said, maybe we should start complying to our stormwater permit plan. Maybe we should check all our you know, different issues. That could be several more million in fines. And they weren't audited to May. The audit came down. It was a completely random audit, nothing to do with Cal Coast News. A random audit found major discrepancies, which could be millions more in fines. And they knew in December and January that things weren't being handled correctly, and they decided to wait. And, in fact, amazing to me, the city attorney and the city manager and the staff, a lot of the lower staff members say, this isn't legal. We've been told what to do. We can read in books. We have to take classes. We are doing illegal acts. A lot of the lower-level employees are very upset about what they're being asked. The city management, though, in her response to me, she said, oh, I don't think we really did anything wrong. And if, you know, they want us to do things a little bit different, we'll change that. Do things a little bit different. Don't pour creosote out near a creek. I mean, this isn't, you know, you weren't dotting your I and crossing your T. This is, no. you conspired to hide an illegal act.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a break and come back with Karen Vili and have more CalCoastNews.com Week in Review.
No matter what time of year it is, Farm Supply is always in season. Stop in and stock up on your favorite home, garden, and ranch products. Hi, this is Nicole with Farm Supply. Whether you have a nutrition question for the family dog or cat, or you're in need of some warmer clothing when the cooler days arrive, Farm Supply is your local source for quality products. And don't forget, our experts are always on hand to answer your questions on anything from fencing to irrigation. Farm Supply's upcoming clinics include a backyard orchard culture clinic. Learn how to grow a variety of fruit in your own backyard on Saturday, November 3rd at 10 a.m. in our San Luis Obispo store. That same day, Saturday, November 3rd, there will be a clinic on the benefit of owl boxes. Owl boxes provide rodent control, nature's way. The first clinic is at 10 a.m. in our Paso Robles store, the second, 2 p.m. in our San Luis Obispo store. Visit one of our locations in Santa Maria, Arroyo Grande, San Luis Obispo, Paso Robles, or Buellton. At Farm Supply, we have everything you need for the farmer in you.
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking with a tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients, and they're worth a call. 543-9047, 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. People in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
It's Friday. It's Friday, 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 Friday. And so we have our Cal Coast
News.
I'm with you. I'm listening. I was wondering how I was coming. This was going and the music was still out. I was on the wrong button. CalCoastNews.com. We can review. All right. And so we have a lot more stuff, too, to tell you, by the way. So let's get to these other things. Now, one of the things that is interesting is, and if you say advertising doesn't work, you're wrong. I mean, this political advertising has an effect on people and how they perceive what they perceive.
Yeah.
I've noticed one today, and it's this is Prop 38. And Prop 30, not 38, I apologize, is it 37? 37 is the one with the GMOs. Okay. They said that the $400 annually that it could cost a consumer, do you know who did that study? The people that are no on 37. So it's kind of like, it's no on 37. Well, that's like me giving myself an award. You know, Bill, you're the broadcaster of the year. Who said so? Bill?
And that's what they do in politics. For example, there's a lot of studies out that say the difference between keeping someone in life in prison and doing the death row. Death row is much more expensive. You have a lot of attorneys. You have a lot of appeals that are required. You have just a ton more costs.
Well, this is what's happened. See, so and you have a posting today about anti-death penalty support mounting. Because people are realizing that it's preposterous the way we do it in this state.
Yeah.
You know, if this was Texas, it'd be another matter. You know, Texas is going to keep using old Sparky down there, but you know, here it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense, and so it makes more sense to just say, okay, fine, you're going to stay in the slammer the rest of your life, and that's that. Understandably.
I think it's even more expensive in Texas, but the interesting thing is the opponents are saying the same thing. They're saying, wait a minute, you got health care because people are living so much longer.
Right.
Even though the current statistics say it's absolutely cheaper to keep someone in jail. Much cheaper.
Wow. Wow. All right, here we have some other things. This is interesting because I thought maybe the wind did it, but nope. These things happen. A turkey vulture went into a power line on Thursday and caused San Luis Obispo's Cuesta College campus. This is in North County. Cuesta here.
Yeah, just the main campus.
Here. Okay, to cancel evening classes because of a power outage and all that. So I mean, it was really quite traumatic. But it doesn't take much, you know what I mean? I mean, seriously, little buggers can chew through wires and do things, and all of a sudden, that's the end of that. Now, the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors is slated to vote on next Tuesday on a contract amendment that would allow the state to charge a $5 fee to go into Montaña de Oro. Explain that to me.
Well, the I guess there's a contract out where right now they can't charge at Montaña de Oro. They want to charge $5 a carload or $25 to $30 for a year pass, which really isn't all that much.
No, but
if you're someone that goes all the time.
But why would it not just come out of, you know, the state's $57 million they found?
Now that I don't know, but I think what they're they're talking about doing it. I guess they're wanting to put something in the contract where the money's got to be spent locally. Now, I don't know how that's going to be because this is going to be state funds. Because think about this. The supervisors have been trying to get money out of the Oceano Dunes forever and a day, and they can't. The state just keeps saying, no, it's our park. No, you're not getting part of the proceeds.
Montaña de Oro is their park, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a state park.
And the other thing is, though, the amount of money brought in by the Oceano Dunes, it is the number one. It has, I think, more visitors than Hearst Castle. It is the number one moneymaker to the area. You know, one of the highest moneymakers is the Oceano Dunes.
Well, here, this doesn't seem, I don't think you have to be brilliant to sort of see this, because I can see it, and I'm not brilliant. And that is, okay, you take a place that's very popular that people like to go to and say, now we're going to attach a $5 fee to it. Well, it may not be right. It may not even be legal to attach the $5 fee to it. I don't know. But you can tell why they're doing it. It's the place that people like to go. It's probably the number third park, you know, locally that people would use.
And most state and federal parks anymore have fees to get in.
Matter of fact, I would bet more people access Montaña de Oro on a regular basis, certainly go to Hearst Castle. You know, I mean, how many times are you going to go to Hearst Castle and pay that kind of price? So,
but I think they get a lot of people from out of area.
I will tell you this, though. I want to remind vets, though, if you're a veteran, you can get a pass from the, I think it's $5 for a lifetime for state parks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's only $5. Then you can go. They give you a sticker of some kind. You can go in any state park for free after that. All right. Let's see what else we got. Okay. Let's see what we got. Any guesses? Let's mention this thing too. And because it's when we do this investigative stuff, it's kind of like say what? Barnes & Noble, their pin pad thing was breached along with many others around the country. And the oddest thing in the world is the FBI, upon knowing this, being told this, said, well, don't do anything yet because we want to build a case. You know, the FBI is usually pretty good at building cases after the fact. That's what they're there for. You know, so meanwhile, all their people's, you know, pin numbers are, you know, are stolen. Yeah. In the process of them saying, okay, well, we'll do it this way. I find that really just bizarre to me. It's just really bizarre. It's like you saying, you know, if the city says, well, let's see how badly we get fined to find out what we're doing wrong. It's like, excuse me? You know, is that the logical thing you should be doing? But okay. Now, do you have any guests in the whole wide world? Have you heard any little birdies told you anything about Frank Freitas?
No, here's the interesting thing that I saw in this. You have two elected officials that have to sign a document when they run for office. They plan on serving their term. And, you know, then the public gets to elect someone else. Well, you have two elected officials, Frank Freitas and Jerry Seebach. Seebach stepping down in December, which gave the current council or the current board of supervisors the ability to pick a new person. Because, you know, there's not going to be an election because they're both dropping out less than halfway through their term. Right. Why would you run for a four-year term and spend a year and a half?
Well, here's the thing, what we don't know. We don't know what personally could have happened in anybody's life. You know, we don't know. So there could be problems that we are not privy to whatsoever. And they just say, well, this is just, I can't do this anymore. So I accept the fact that that's possible, but it's... And you can't have somebody sign a thing and then you're sentenced to you're sentenced to a 4-year term, so to speak, and you have to serve.
No, I agree, but the issue here is it just seems awfully odd that two of our main finance guys for the county stepped down within a month or month and a half each other or something. That's awfully coincidental.
That is coincidental.
After the amount of years they've served.
That's why I wondered if. The little birdies had told you anything, because it is kind of coincidental and very strange.
To me, it seems very odd, and it could be nothing. I haven't heard anything, but it just doesn't. It just seems a little questionable.
All right, you're right. All right, other things going on. The jobless rate is down, which is really good.
And what people don't, because a lot of people say, well, this is just the amount of people that aren't on unemployment anymore. That's not quite the only thing that's sent over. When we get the jobless numbers, we also get the amount of people that are that are employed in the different sectors. The employment has gone up in our county. It's gone up in a couple different areas. Even though it fell a little bit in hospitality last month and went up in education, that is a standard drop when people go back to school. You see it every August. This is a standard seasonal drop, which isn't quite worrisome because teachers are going back, so government jobs suddenly increase, but it's normal in the year to year. But the interesting thing is hospitality has probably been the market leader in San Luis Obispo for bringing more people to work, and it's lower income jobs, but a lot of people have gotten hospitality's been doing well, and I think it's more people are vacationing local.
Right.
The other thing is the solar farm brought in quite a few jobs. There was one manufacturing drop in 1 month of 400 jobs. I'm not sure who stopped. I don't know where it came from, but we did have a very significant drop a few months ago in manufacturing in the county. But all in all, our numbers have grown substantially, and it's much better.
I'm searching my memory banks to see if I can remember if somebody decided they're going to call it quits or move out of the area or something. I can't. Nothing's happened because my memory bank is only a little tiny thing.
One of the things, we used to be kind of in the middle for California. We were kind of average. Right now, we're one of the cities with a better unemployment. And, again, this had to do with the solar farms and the hospitality industry. They have really pulled us. I think number 5 right now of the best unemployment numbers in the state of California, which is...
Well, and, you know, San Luis Obispo has traditionally been, even though it's changing now, the face of San Luis is changing somewhat, but not dramatically so. It has been either government workers or has been service and hospitality. That's what it's been. you know, forever. So, and it remains that way, and probably would remain that way in the foreseeable future. Although I will say there's a lot of manufacturing and businesses in San Luis Obispo that you are sort of under the radar, so to speak, and people don't realize how many there are. And it's encouraging to me that there are as many as there are, because I think, you know, that speaks well for the fact of what we have better paying jobs locally than if we just have service jobs.
Yeah.
You know. What else?
And that is part of the problem with service jobs, is they are very low income.
Okay, here's the other thing that's going on, and that is, you got all these, again, things are starting to change in this election because, you know, people are firing stuff out there right and left. Brown's tax plan seems to be faltering somewhat. Here's the weird part. He's been doing nothing but preaching to the choir the last 2 weeks, and that's by going to students and saying, we really need this. Well, it's not to say the student vote isn't important, but, you know, they already know that. I mean, they don't want their tuition to go up. You better convince somebody else why they should increase their taxes.
And students don't vote. Every election time, you'll hear some candidate go, well, I'm going to Cal Poly and I'm doing this. And I don't think I've ever heard of the students coming out to vote. It's a very low percentage of they'll register, but they don't vote then. It just doesn't happen.
It's going to be interesting to see. You know, we're usually around 30-35% voter turnout. I have a feeling this election will be stronger. We were stronger in the primary, and I have a feeling we'll be stronger in this one. The only thing is I talked to somebody yesterday who already wrote me in for something, and so I think there's going to be a lot of that. You know, neither of these and none of the above.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, and I'm going to have an opinion piece coming out of it fairly soon. Yeah, you can't any longer have write-in candidates for the Senate and Congress. And Maldonado was partially behind that. And I've had several people email me and go, why is this no longer allowed? Now, a gentleman in the area, Matt Kokanen, is sent me an opinion piece about, I'm going to ask you to write me in. Just so, and he knows he can't win. They can't have writing candidates. Just so then he can try to fight the.
But let me ask you a question. Well, but you can write in somebody.
They can't win in that one. They don't even have a line for it. There's not a line on your ballot.
Oh, there isn't a line for that?
And they don't allow. They voted it out, and they and he doesn't think that should be allowed. So he's going to try to file something that says it isn't. You know, that
here you have these two extremes, that the legislature manages to get, you know, something changed so that you have to vote for somebody, which obviously benefits both parties, and then you have that's just craziness to me, and then you have you know, the other extremes that are going on are voting, and it's like, well, say what, you know, it's just very odd.
Do you know, in some countries, in Australia, for example, you're required to vote, and if you don't vote, you get fined.
I know.
And, I mean, if you're in the hospital, you have to have a really good excuse. You can't stay home because you had a cold. You know, if you're not voting, you better have been in a bad accident.
But here's the thing. You know, I think that people have a right not to vote. I think, let's say you say there's absolutely nothing that I want to vote for. Obviously, when you took a look at your ballot measures, there must be something you feel something about with a ballot measure. Mm-hmm. But if, let's say, you're talking about state races and national races, if you're just not happy, I mean, they don't have none of the above. So I can understand why people would say, "I'm not voting. I'm not voting. I'm fed up with the whole thing," and it's too bad. I mean, but we've created a system that makes people do that, throw up their arms and go, "I can't stand it. To heck with it." What a shame.
And I'm hearing that a lot lately.
Yeah,
I don't
too.
Like either candidate. I don't want to vote for either candidate. I don't, you know, a lot of anger. And the people aren't running. If you look at how many people are running unopposed in this county for public office,
right,
it is astounding.
Yeah, it is astounding. And which is always great for the incumbent, but it's a little bit strange that, you know, that's how we're doing it. But I don't know. I think people are exhausted because, you know, we campaign now 365 days a year for every year after year after year, it seems like, for something. And so it's like, I think people just get burnt out from the whole thing after a while.
I think the two-year mayoral terms, I don't know if I like them. Because they work for about a year, and then they campaign for a year.
Right.
And I like the 4 years better.
Right. I wouldn't disagree with that either. Because that's, well, and that's part of our problem with all of our elected officials from Washington to locally to our city councils is that's really the crux of the matter. Now, somebody might say, well, I'll have an exclusion to that, although the president, obviously, if he's campaigning, is not working at the White House. But I would still assume that the president, more than anybody else, is taking all the necessary, you know, business at hand that has to be and do it. And I don't, that's for any president, Republican, Democrat, whatever. This is interesting. This isn't local, but it's interesting. I don't know if you heard where John Sununu made a comment about Colin Powell. And he said, well, Colin Powell, who's a registered Republican and then has thrown his support behind Barack Obama, and then he said something. And so a lot of people are saying it's racist. There can be racism in a sense that is that's not, to me, detrimental. So his comment was that perhaps Colin Powell feels comfortable with somebody in his own race being the president of the United States. I think that's okay to say. I think that may be so. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That may be so. There's nothing wrong with that. If somebody says, okay, I'm black and I'm going to vote for the guy that's black because I'm more comfortable with this black guy, that to me is not racist. That's just, okay,
and people
normal.
Are more likely to vote for somebody they whether they are from the same town or the same religion.
Or they relate to in some
race.
Way. Right.
Yeah. So it's just, it works. It works for people.
I'm waiting for somebody poor to run. So I can relate. You know, I want to relate. All right, Karen Vili, we thank you very much for our Calcoast
Coast
Week in Review, and we'll get together again on Friday earlier than that if something breaks. Thank you, madam.
Thank you.
I'm Sam Litzinger. Virginia and Maryland have already declared states of emergency days before Hurricane Sandy is expected to affect them, but it's a big storm likely to be made even worse as it merges with another storm and an Arctic air mass. Surfs up along the Florida coast. James Franklin's with the National Hurricane Center.
Because of the large size of the system and the slow motion, it's going to be a long-lasting event, 2 to 3 days of impacts for a lot of people.
Karen Johnson's with PSE&G Utility in New Jersey. She says it's all hands on deck.
We're making sure that all of our trucks are fueled, that we have adequate poles and transformers and other equipment at the ready.
Millions of people along the East Coast likely to be affected.
Mitt Romney is telling supporters in Ames, Iowa, President Obama has no economic proposals that can meet the challenges of the times.
The president's campaign falls far short of the magnitude of these times, and the presidency of the last 4 years has fallen far short of the promises of his last campaign.
Romney dismissed a new report showing the economy growing at an annual rate of 2% as not good enough. He says he could do better. President Obama's back at the White House doing some interviews and talking about everything from the economy to America's relations with the rest of the world, which he says are doing very well.
What this shows, I think, is a smart, strong, steady foreign policy is different than a lot of saber-rattling and chest-thumping.
He spoke on the Michael Smirkamish radio program. The Food and Drug Administration's out with its initial report on the New England Compounding Center, the lab at the center of that deadly outbreak of fungal meningitis, and the results are not pretty. Stephen Lins with the FDA.
During the inspection, the investigators observed a dark, hair-like discoloration in a transition room that connects directly to a room used to formulate and fill the injectable product.
The disease outbreak is blamed for at least 24 deaths. The score, pro hockey 0, hockey fans 0. The National Hockey League says it's canceling all regular season games through next month because of an ongoing labor dispute. Adam Gretz with CBSSports.com says maybe some of this season can be salvaged.
The best case scenario is you're looking at a shortened season, and I think maybe you're looking at 60, 65 games is the best case scenario at this point.
Players and management reported far apart. In Sioux Falls, South Dakota, they're saying goodbye to the late Senator and Democratic presidential contender George McGovern, who died Sunday at age 90. Hundreds of friends, family members, and supporters turned out to pay their respects. McGovern's body will be buried in Washington. On Wall Street near the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up about 4 points. This is CBS News.
Do you suffer from pain like joint pain, muscle pain, back pain, or painful arthritis? Then you must listen to this important message. Nearly half of all Americans suffer from some kind of pain due to chronic inflammation. Anetablock is a breakthrough supplement scientifically proven to quickly and effectively reduce inflammation and get rid of pain. Anetablock is so effective in preventing excessive inflammation and reducing the pain, we guarantee you'll feel a significant difference in just a few days. Best of all, Anetablock is now available to try for free. That's right. Call 800-603-1520 now and get out of pain absolutely free. Anetablock is now looking for real-life testimonials for anyone who has back pain, muscle pain, or painful arthritis. Call 800-603-1520 to get your free supply and get out of pain today. Just call 800-603-1520 for details. Call today, 800-603-1520. That's 800-603-1520. Again, 800-603-1520.
CBS News correspondent Gary Nunn tells us about a hot new trend in campaigning.
Researchers have found the Democrats, more than Republicans, are apt to contribute by text or cell phone app. So far, it's a generational thing.
Young people are very attached to their phones and are increasingly used to spending money through their phones.
Lee Rainey of the Pew Research Center says that contribute texting has other pluses.
It's another way for campaigns to figure out who's devoted to them and will vote for them on Election Day.
About 10% of people donating to the presidential campaign are doing it the new-fashioned way, 67% through traditional means, 50% online or through email. Gary Nunn, CBS News.
The Navy plans to do something different with thousands of used mattresses from the aircraft carrier USS Enterprise. They used to go to a landfill, but when the Enterprise returns home from its final deployment, thousands of mattresses will become part of a pilot program to break them all down and recycle their springs and foam for other uses. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Come into the Home Depot and discover the new exclusive line of Husky hand tools. They're improved, affordable, and guaranteed forever. Start with a three-piece plier and wrench set for the new lower price of just $9.88. Add a few new tools to your workbench, even though your workbench may wear out long before these new improved Husky hand tools do. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
GoToMeeting is the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online. Here's MindJet's Chief Marketing Officer, Yashikakis Wolf, telling us why he believes in GoToMeeting.
For us, using GoToMeeting is our answer. It's the way that we move forward. It's what allows us to be successful.
we're able to share the ideas, the plans with everybody, inside of our company and out of our company.
Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and enter promo code 45 for a free 45-day trial. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing.
Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Get hooked on Charter Digital. Choice, convenience, clarity, control. Get hooked on Charter High Speed on your internet. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it's a lot easier. Get hooked on Charter DVR. Record programs when you want to see them. Watch them back when you want to see them. Get hooked on Charter HDTV and see the cleanest, clearest pictures you've ever seen on TV. Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Call 1-866-332-6749 today. That's 1-866-332-6749. Charter. Get hooked.
It truly is the simple, everyday things that make life beautiful. The simple spring song of the robin, a child's laughter. Hearing loss can occur at any age, and Dr. Karen Scott at Karen Scott Audiology has an important reminder for you today. Have your loved one's hearing checked, today and often. But when you do, rely on a professional audiologist and not a walk-in center. A professional like Dr. Karen Scott and her team at Karen Scott Audiology, who have been serving our community for over 30 years with professional-level hearing aids, hearing testing, industrial screenings, and more. The birds are singing, the children are laughing, and the sounds are like poetry to your soul. This is not a gift to be left unattended. This is a gift to be nurtured and enjoyed for many years to come. That's what we do every day here at Karen Scott Audiology. Love your loved one today. Visit Dr. Karen Scott at 3220 South Higuera Street, Suite 320 in San Luis Obispo, or call 541-1790 to schedule a hearing test today. For more info, visit us online at KarenScottAudiology.com. Hear a beautiful day.
Happy Friday to you. Worked your butt off again. Happy Friday to you. Go get drunk with all your friends. By Sunday after you've been on a bender, your boss's face you barely will remember. Happy Friday to you. Have a great week.
Tommy's selling used cars, Nancy's fixing hair, Harvey runs a grocery store, and Margaret doesn't care. Jerry drives a truck with Sears, and Charlotte's on the make, and Paul sells life insurance and part-time real estate.
Helen is a hostess, Frank works at the mill, Janet teaches grade school and probably always will. Bob works for the city and Jackson Lab Research, and Peggy plays organ at the Presbyterian Church.
And the class of 57 had its dreams,
but we all thought we'd change the world with our great works and deeds.
Or maybe we just thought the world would change to fit our needs. The class of 57 has dreams.
Betty runs a trailer park, Jan sells Tupperware, Randy's on an insane war, Mary's on welfare. Charlie took a job with Ford, Joe took Freddie's wife, Charlotte took a millionaire, and Freddie took his life.
John is big in cattle, Ray is deep in debt. Where Mavis finally wound up is anybody's bet. Linda married Sonny, Brenda married me, and the class of all of us is just part of history.
And the class of 57 has dreams,
but living life day to day is never like it seems.
Things get complicated
when you get past 18. But the class of 57 had its dreams. Oh, the class of 57 had its dreams.
Sadler Brothers, class of 57. Hi, you're Bill Banker, talk is Cheap Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, and this is your news station. And it's Friday, it's feeling good. The wind, let me look out here. Is it, I think it's calmed down here. All right, by the airport, it's calmed down. It was. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. We had gusty winds of like 40 miles an hour where I live. I've talked to other people around town, and they said the same thing. I don't think they predicted them exactly. They predicted a warm offshore wind, you know, and they said today would be warmer, but I don't think they predicted that whole thing. But you know what? There's this other thing going on here. Right? Let me get this thing here. That's not it. Here it is, Hurricane Sandy. So now they're really, really kind of concerned about Hurricane Sandy because there's another storm moving across the Midwest. And what they're saying now is that the Hurricane Sandy and this other storm could kind of collide badly over New Jersey, New York, that area right there, probably the day before Halloween. But they're saying it can't be good, but we'll get a report on that next after we probably hear from, I'll tell you who the advertiser is if we can't tell. I have to play them. I can't help it. They're all attached.
When a community in New Orleans gets the investment it needs, houses are built. Residents come home. Jobs return. Businesses grow. Traditions flourish, and an American city makes progress.
Goldman Sachs. How would you know? Unless I told you, so you wouldn't know. All right, here's Frankenstein.
Forecasters are watching two storm systems tonight that are expected to team up and hit the East Coast as something of a superstorm. One storm is moving in from the west. The other is Hurricane Sandy, now over the Bahamas and heading north. Highest sustained winds, 105 miles an hour. This is how the hurricane looks from space. Here is what it's doing on Earth. Flooding streets in Haiti, sending waves crashing onto the shore in Cuba, and knocking down trees and buildings. Where this Cuban is walking, a house once stood. Sandy is blamed for at least four deaths in the Caribbean. Meteorologist David Bernard is our CBS News hurricane consultant. And David, where is Sandy headed?
Well, that's the million-dollar question right now, Scott, that everybody wants to know. And as you mentioned, let's look at where Sandy is right now. It's in the Bahamas. It's a powerful Category 2 storm with 105-mile-per-hour winds. And the thinking is it's going to kind of scoot parallel to the East Coast through Sunday and be east of the Outer Banks of North Carolina by then. But the real key is, when does this forecasted turn back to the left happen? That could be Monday or Tuesday, anywhere from the mid-Atlantic to southern New England. So what does that mean for us? That means there's the possibility of storm force winds, major coastal flooding, power outages, and then inland areas in the higher terrain region, say of western Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, and West Virginia, we could be looking at some significant snows. How bad that coastal flooding is will depend exactly how strong the storm is and the exact location where it makes landfall.
But David, why does it make that left turn you're talking about?
Well, that's the real tricky part of this, and it's the very unusual aspect of this storm. In fact, what we have across the Atlantic right now, we are looking at what we call a big block. And basically, it's a roadblock. It's preventing anything from turning back out to sea. You remember, even Irene last year, it moved up along the coast parallel, but then scooted on out. That central Atlantic block is going to probably force the storm westward. And you see that cold pool, Scott, that's over the eastern United States. That's the winter storm you were referring to. You take all that tropical energy, all that heat from the tropics, you combine it with winter cold. That's an explosive ingredient in the atmosphere, and that's why we think this storm has so much potential. I really encourage everybody to pay attention to what their local emergency management officials tell them as we go into the weekend.
All right, and so it's really weird. There's like a high-pressure system that goes up, and it goes across the ocean, you know, out in the Atlantic, and it goes up just above New York and right around Connecticut. And so that creates a wall for this other storm that's moved Sandy. That creates a wall for Sandy, a Sandy wall. And so then it makes a left turn when it gets up there. Now, maybe it would careen dramatically to the right. It's unfortunately it's curved, so that's not going to happen. That high pressure system's curved to direct the thing right into that area. Wow, that looks bad. That looks bad news right there. I don't want any Frankenweenies. All right, there's a number of things that are kind of cracking me up. I got to say, I'm paying more attention now when they write stuff under pictures in the paper. I'm paying more attention to it. Now, this one was fine. This is the Munchkins March at Farmer's Market, and they got the little Munchkins, and the little guys are marching and doing stuff. And, you know, and of course, kids are always looking around like, what the heck is going on here? But anyway, that's really cute. And that was for the Mindful Mothers that came in and visited us. All right, now, but here's the picture that's kind of cracking me up right here. Oh, this was a picture of Frankenstorm. When it's down in Cuba, and it says a driver maneuvers his classic car along a wet road as a wave crashes against the seawall in Havana, Cuba on Thursday as Hurricane Sandy passed by. Did you hear what I said? A driver maneuvers his classic car. It's not a classic car to him. That's the only wheels he has. The fact that it was built in the 50s doesn't make it a classic car in Cuba. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. And then here, this is another one that's cracking me up right here. This was in the local section of the paper today. There's a picture. Follow the signs. Can't help but stop and take a look. So here's this is at a shop at a Pismo Beach surf shop near Price Street and Ocean Avenue. Owner Bill Bookout, a self-described picker, who says he has been collecting all his life, but built his collection by finding signs on road trips and getting them from friends. He said he has even made some signs custom-made. I don't know where that sign is. We had one of us. We decided we picked him because his father apparently didn't care. And so his name was Chris Jeb, and his room was decorated in every kind of sign you could imagine, no trespassing signs especially. And they weren't just picked up off the ground somewhere. They weren't. But, hey, maybe. Somebody's willing to buy that program. Okay, whatever. All right. How about the Giants again? 2-0. Cool. Okay, here's another thing that's losing steam. Engineered food label measure loses steam. Support has fallen 17 points amid ad blitz by opponents. And so there's lots of opponents. But, of course, when you see who and this is interesting because it's the huge agricultural concerns that the people are saying no on it. There's big bucks behind a whole bunch of these things, quite frankly. Okay, that's just one. So I mentioned when I first went on the air that Willow Road is finally complete, which is really cool. It gives South County Motors a chance to avoid Teff Street and still get to Highway 1, which is really cool. It's about darn time, hey? And if you're from Napomo and you've had to take Teff Street for the last 10 years, you're going, it's about darn time, eh? Boy, you're not kidding. All right. Now, here's the other thing right here. Iran's underground nuclear facility nearly done. See, here, this is what I've never really quite understood, because we have spy planes and we have agents and we have things in place. You know what I'm saying? And so you would think that we'd pretty much know what was going on in a foreign country if we choose to. And especially, you know, I have no idea what's replaced the SR-71 Blackbird, but obviously something has. And we have satellites that can spy and all that. So we would sort of, you know as it progressed what was happening. So now all of a sudden it's like this big surprise that they have all these centrifuges in this place that's inside of a mountain, this lab. And so now they're saying, well, it's quite possible now that they have enough stuff. I don't know what centrifuges do exactly when it comes to nuclear material, but they have enough of these little wing-dingers that they could build a nuclear weapon. Now what? Now what? Guess we'll find out, eh? I guess we'll find out. Here is a thing, too, here that's like, please. Groups seek to reform vote changing. It's common for assembly members to amend their votes once a bill passes or fails. So they actually can go in there after the fact and say, okay, we're going to change our votes. Matter of fact, 80 member assembly changed their votes more than 5,000 times during this year's legislative sessions. Here's what the statement that was being made here by Jim Mayer, executive director of the government reform group, California Forward. He says, one of those simple practices that start to erode confidence in the legislature. What gave you confidence in the legislature to begin with? I don't think anybody has confidence in our legislature in California anymore. I don't think they do. I don't think they do. I don't think they do. So whatever. But that's certainly a ridiculous thing right there, obviously. Okay. Really? This is one of those. Really? Carly Rae Jepsen, I'm sorry, Carly Rae Jepsen is named a rising star. She's the one that called me, maybe that everybody in the world has done a skit with, and I mean, it's gone international, it's gone interstellar. That's how it's gone. And so she has a new album out, and so they say she's a rising star, according to Billboard's annual Women in Music thing. Previous receivers included Nicki Minaj and Lady Gaga. Anyhow, I would say that she's probably pretty popular right there. Okay. And then Katy Perry wore a ballot dress at a campaign rally Wednesday in Las Vegas, and it was obviously colored in for Barack Obama and Joe Biden. Okay, well, that's good. I've never seen a ballot look so good. Okay, and then let's see what else is it. I'm not sure who this is, Jack Scalia. We have an Anthony one on the Supreme Court. But Jack, anyway, he's a recurring star on All My Children Remembering Remington Steele in Dallas. Is that still on, Dallas? Anyway, he played the role of Nicholas Pierce on Dallas. The character plunged to his death from a balcony following a fight with J.R. Ewing. Oh, okay, well, you have that. Anyway, he got on a plane with an unloaded gun in his carry-on, and so he's in trouble. And so, you know, what always happens when these people get busted for having an unloaded weapon or loaded weapon on a carry-on, I forgot that was in there. You did? You really did. When you put your socks and your skivvies in there and everything, you know, to pack the, and you didn't notice the gun? Is that how it was? Okay. All right, and P. Diddy Combs was, Sean Diddy Combs was, or was P. Diddy the right thing? Anyway, so Sean Diddy Combs was in a car accident, but it wasn't major. But now he's complaining a lot about neck problems and all this kind of stuff. Don't you have enough money? All right, there you go. And then this is the headline here, a $2 billion campaign season, $2 billion. $2 billion. Unbelievable. Okay, now wait, there's a couple stories here that were actually a crack-up I want to share with you. A New Mexico inmate on his way out of jail was quickly thrown back after authorities say he stole another inmate's cash, then treated himself to a hearty lunch. So here's what was happening. He was being let out of jail, and he was at the booking department there, and so they were giving him his stuff. When a guy wasn't looking, the sheriff obviously, when the guy wasn't looking, another guy had just put his stuff on the counter and was, you know, off taking his picture, you know, his booking picture. He stole the guy's money. And then he swiped $80 and he went to Blake's Lotaburger, bought himself lunch, and then when he was busted, he returned the extra money. But anyway, you have to realize it was Blake's Lotaburger, which is hard to, you know, ignore. Okay, and sheriffs in 5 South Carolina counties are offering people a chance to turn in explosives, no questions asked. That'll work. Yeah, that'll work. That's going good. Let's see what else I got here today. Oh, I have this I want to share with you. Let's do this first. This is our 1 minute thing that gives you a website to go to, and so here's another one of these Halloween affairs.
This Halloween, go green. This is Soundbites, and I'm Jan Ziff. Green? Halloween? Well, what's more recycled than a zombie? Green and Halloween go together like fun and games. And if you want to make your Halloween eco-friendly, visit www.greenhalloween.org. It's sponsored by Green America, and it's a national push for a Halloween that'll really shrink your carbon footprint. Ideas for families, ideas for kids, ideas for teachers, ideas for schools. When you become a Green Halloween Coordinator, you'll be in the forefront of planning green events for your community, trick-or-treat charity campaigns, costume swaps, healthy snacks, and other ideas that aren't just good for the planet, but will save you some green in your pocket as well. It's never too late to put together a Green Halloween event for this year, and plan on next year too. Visit greenhalloween.org. With Soundbites, I'm Jan Ziff for CBS News.
What if I suspect I have hearing loss? Make an appointment to see an audiologist. They'll perform a comprehensive hearing evaluation to determine the type and severity of the hearing loss you may have. Hearing impairment not only affects your ability to understand speech, it can also have a negative impact on your social and emotional well-being. Wear ear protection, such as earplugs or earmuffs, when you're attending a loud concert or using firearms, power tools, or lawn equipment. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Karen Scott, Hearing Aids and Audiology.
Prettiest song as there ever was right there, Shenandoah. And that was the Statler Brothers once again. Here with Bill Becker. Talk is cheap. Thanks for joining me today on 1340 KYNS. It's currently right now 129. So time's run out for you to do whatever it is you're supposed to get done this week at work. Sure. Okay. You can, whatever it is, you can wait till Monday. You know that. Okay. Wait till Monday. Let's let it go. Okay. No problem. All right, let's talk about other things that are happening today. Oh, here was the thing. They had a story on the news right here at the top of the hour on CBS News. They had, and only radio people say the top of the hour. I don't know why we say it. It's because nobody else ever says that. You don't say to your best friend, you know, I'll meet you at the top of the hour.
Radio people say it, and we shouldn't, because it makes no sense to say it. It's ridiculous. Okay, but I'm sorry I did it. All right, here's the deal. At the top of the hour, they had the CBS News, and they said that the Enterprise, USS Enterprise, I guess is being decommissioned, is what I'm hearing. And so they're going to take the mattresses, and they said they're going to recycle, instead of just throwing them away, which they normally do, they're going to recycle the springs and foam from the mattresses. That's exactly how they said it, by the way. Springs and foam from the mattresses. Now, I was on the USS Ranger for a year, and it had it was a CVA just like the Enterprise, so I would assume it was very similar in their berthing spaces. We had a mattress that at the most, at the very, very most, was about 3 inches thick. It was a piece of foam, 3 inches thick. And it sat, and there's no springs involved. It laid on top of a shelf that was the top of your locker, and you could, and that was about 12, 15 inches deep, and then all your clothes had to fit in there, all your stuff, and that's how you lived, and you know that's how you live right there, and you had they didn't have a sheet, you had how do I describe? I can't use the term they use in the Navy for it. It was like a sheet that fit over your whole, it was like your mattress went inside it, okay? And so it was called a sack. You didn't have a top sheet, and then they gave you, had a wool blanket. So you can imagine how comfortable that was sleeping. You got used to it. What the heck? Are you kidding me? It was not that bad. But there's no springs involved. Not unless they did something on the Enterprise they didn't do anywhere else. All right, speaking of springs involved and all that kind of stuff, you can get springy stuff right there. You can get Beauty Rest Classic. You can get a Beauty Sleep. You can get a Sealy Firm or a Posturepedic Gel Series or a regular springy job. All of these things are available at either Sleep Source, your Tempur-Pedic Elite Retail Showroom. And don't forget, they have 12-month finance and approved credit. They set it up. They take it out. They deliver it. They remove the other stuff. They do all that kind of stuff. And so, and they've been doing it, they've been at it forever. Since 1954. So here's the deal, really. You know, lots of people sell Tempur-Pedic mattresses these days, but probably about a dozen sell Tempur-Pedic and other mattresses these days. And so you say, well, why should I go there, Bill? Well, if everybody else has trusted in the service and everything else that's involved with Idler since 1954, well, does that make sense to you? You know, it's not one of these things where, well, we're in business today, but we'll see about tomorrow. You know, this is somebody been around. People have been around and very well liked and near and dear. And don't forget, they have the new Tempur-Pedic Breeze and Weightless. Now, the Weightless Affair is a thing where you have it has to do with the material of the mattress. That's the best I can tell you. It has to do with the material of the mattress, and so it changes the way a Tempur-Pedic bed operates. The Breeze has some kind of material on it. I've never heard of such a thing before, to tell you, and it stays cool. You're going to say, Bill, it can't stay cool. It does. Honest, it stays cool. And so you go test drive it. If you're what they call a hot sleeper, if you're hot to trot, go over there to Idler's, go to Idler Sleep Center and test it out and see what's going on. All right, that's all happening right now at Idler Sleep Source at the corner of Cross and Short Street right there, in the corner of the corner of Cross and Short Street right behind Trader Joe's there. Okay. Anything else, Bill? No. Oh, and make sure you Cody's there and Juniper. I mistakenly called her Mulberry to somebody else the other day. But anyway, it's Juniper. It's a bush, I know that. All right, here's what else is going on here. Where's the other thing I want to tell you about? Where's all my stuff? Okay, we got that. Okay, right here. Okay, I don't know how long it's going to take for this thing to work, but this is you can imagine if you were there, this would come as a surprise.
Oh, a dead man walked.
All right, let's start over. There you go.
You can call Gilberto Araujo a dead man walking, or just the victim of a case of mistaken identity. The family of a man in Brazil got the shock of a lifetime when the relative they were about to bury showed up at his own wake. Gilberto Araujo heard rumors that he had died. So the 41-year-old car washer decided to go to his mother's home where the wake was held, to prove he wasn't dead.
Wait till you hear this.
When I walked through the door, I saw the coffin and was a bit flabbergasted. I asked, what is this? And they said it was a service for me. And I said to them, I'm alive. I'm not dead.
Gilberto's family hadn't seen him for months. His own brother identified the body.
There
was no way to tell the difference because they were actually very similar. So I proceeded to confirm it was actually my brother and brought the body home.
Gilberto even tried to phone someone attending the wake, and it was thought to be a prank call.
I saw people screaming, Gilberto is alive! He is alive! One of the guys was even a bit drunk, and he said, I told you I saw the body moving in the coffin.
The question now is, who's the man in the coffin? Authorities have launched an investigation into his identity. But for now, a family that was once grieving is now grateful their loved one is alive and well. Shasta Darlington, CNN, Sao Paulo.
Shasta Darlington right there, I'll tell you. So that's that was it right there. His own brother didn't recognize him. I don't know what to say to that. Can I be honest with you? That's a little bit startling. Yeah, you know, your brother says, well, that's him. We're going to go bury him. Okay, that's really good. Okay, you don't get that. You don't get that all the time. I'll tell you that right now. Okay. I should probably play this thing that John Sununu said, because I mentioned it with Karen. Okay, I had it, and then it went away. I can get it back. I'll get it back. We'll get it to it. All right, other things that are happening today in our world, as it spins wildly around us and sucks us in, media is going to form an updated strategy for exit polls. So as if, you know, you don't... Anyway... there'll be a less in-person polling and more by phone. What the strategy absolutely does, I have no idea. I don't see what it can do, but there it is. That's the strategy right there. All right, other things going on. Oh, regulators vote for a financial probe of San Onofre, which is good news for ratepayers, because they're trying to say, okay, wait a minute, who screwed this up? And if Southern California Edison screwed it up, which they did. You know, they had a bad design, and they continued to operate it when things were going bad. You know, why should the ratepayers pay for it? And, you know, it's hard. It's really hard to get the PUC to ever, you know, roll over on the utility as opposed to the ratepayer. It's really hard. But, you know, sometimes when it just stares you right in the face, you should probably say, yeah, that's kind of staring me right in the face, if you know what I mean. So that would be an indication that something's not right with it. Let me see if I – let me go to here. I want to bring this to you. So John Sununu's comments, I said, I don't think they're racist. I don't think it's racism. I think it's reality, to tell you the truth. But here's what he said. Let's get him here. Probably be an ad first. Okay. Wait, I don't want to see Hurricane Sandy from space. I want John Sununu. I already did Hurricane Sandy from space. All right, here we go. And there's a UFO thing I can't show you because I can't tell you, but it's there. So there's a guy took pictures. This guy took pictures, an astronomer took pictures of this thing, and he said, right now it's a UFO. It's an unidentified flying object, and it was a very strange-looking oblong affair, and it was sort of transparent, and it was weird. And sure enough, other people had taken pictures of it. This is over Kentucky. So anyway, so I don't know what they're going to come up and say it was at some point. You know, it was some kind of bull. It was this. You don't feel cockeyed.
Colin Powell has decided to opt for President Obama again, despite apparently still being a Republican. Is it time he left the party, do you think?
Well, I'm not sure how important that is. I do like the fact that Colin Powell's boss, George Herbert Walker Bush, has endorsed Mitt Romney all along. And frankly, when you take a look at Colin Powell, you have to wonder whether that's an endorsement based on issues or whether he's got a slightly different reason for preferring President Obama.
What reason would that be?
Well, I think when you have somebody of your own race that you're proud of being president of the United States, I applaud Colin for standing with him.
What do you think he meant by that? Because he walked back the statements later, and I'll read those in a minute. But
we don't hear all that junk. So you heard what he said, and you can decide what you make your own decision about that. I think that that might be founded in reality right there, that statement, and grounded in reality. Again, I'm not offended by it. Nor do I think that Colin Powell would be offended by it. That may be his reason. We don't know what his reason. I mean, obviously there has to be some reason a Republican says, okay, I'm going to back the Democratic president. So it wasn't because of the success of this. I got to tell you this right here. It wasn't because of the success of our recent missile test that we had. U.S. military intercepted 4 out of 5 targets over the Pacific Ocean in the largest and most complex test of the nation's ballistic missile defense system. The test on the Kwajalein Island atoll on Wednesday was designed to demonstrate the system's ability to defend against a raid of 5 nearly simultaneous threats. So we did pretty good, as long as you're not the one that was the one that they didn't get. I don't think it's going to be San Luis Obispo, California, I got to tell you the truth, but you don't want to be the one that they didn't get. 4 out of 5 is good, but... Four out of five is pretty good, but it's not quite perfect. Okay, not quite perfect. I think it's a problem. All right. So I don't know if I'll ever be able to use my phone again. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But so this is just Bill's news and commentary. In the meantime, somebody's calling, probably saying you're full of poop, Bill. Whatever. It'll be on the answering machine. We'll find out. All right. We mentioned last week that the government was quietly dropping body scanners at some airports, and so now they're saying there's 7 airports involved with that. Now, here's a thing that's really quite interesting, I think, and that is what they've done is they've digitized one of the first foil phonographs, cylinders, that Edison ever made. And so now you can actually hear it yourself. It may be on YouTube. I don't know. Anyway, it says they had a man's voice reciting Mary Had a Little Lamb. Well, first it was a 23-second cornet solo of an unidentified song, followed by a man's voice reciting Mary Had a Little Lamb and Old Mother Hubbard. The man laughs at 2 spots during the recording, including at the end when he recites the wrong words in the second nursery rhyme. Look at me, I don't know the songs, he says. When the recording was played using modern technology during a presentation Thursday at a nearby theater, it was likely the first time it had been played in public ever since it was created during an Edison phonograph demonstration held in 1878 in St. Louis, for God's sakes. Okay. Popping noises heard on the recording are likely from scars left from where the foil was folded up for more than a century, you think? Okay. Because what they're saying is that back then you could only play the things a couple of times, you know, and then the needle would just grind through the foil, and that was the end of that. Okay. So we had the girl that runs Call Me Maybe, okay, Epson, is that her name? So we had her, and now, of course, this crazy guy that does this Gangnam style of dancing is now the latest craze. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. They have tons of videos right here on it. It's madness, they call it. You're right. That's exactly what it is. Okay. Who else is in the news? Taylor Swift and Connor Kennedy split? Question mark. People don't seem to want to stay with her that long. I don't know what that means. I have no idea. I don't know, quite frankly. I don't know. Other people learn the thing. Should we do a... Let's do an Anderson Cooper. Ridiculous, because I think they're really fun. As do I think Genie Moves is very fun. Okay, they're gonna play Sears spot first, so we'll get to that. But anyway, so this is a good time to go shopping for the holiday weekend, because it's not quite the weekend before the holiday weekend, so you might want to go to your local Sears or someplace else.
Time now for the ridiculous, and tonight I got to do it. I'm adding myself again for losing it on air again. On last night's Ridiculous. On last night's Ridiculous, we added anyone who missed out on Dingus Day, a little-known holiday. It sounds like a lot of fun. Now, for the record, I didn't put the holiday itself on the Ridiculous. It was anyone who missed out on the holiday, for the record. Now, I started giggling about halfway through last night's Ridiculous. Take a look.
The quirky little rituals include boys sprinkling girls that they fancy with water, and the girls striking back with a tap from a pussy willow branch.
Nice.
road. I'm not going to let you do this on this. All right. That's so stupid.
I love when people lose it. I absolutely think it's great.
It's really so stupid. Now, if you notice, in the midst of the giggle fit, I said something like, this is so stupid, it's so stupid. I think I said it twice. Now, some people, especially folks in the Buffalo area, seem to think I was calling Dingus Day itself stupid. I absolutely was not. I was saying that my giggle fit was so stupid, and it was. I also said it was torture at one point, and I certainly wasn't calling Dingus Day torture. I said it was stupid because it's stupid that a grown man giggles like a 13-year-old girl meeting Justin Bieber for the first time. And I think it's stupid that I cannot stop giggling once I start. And
let me interrupt him and mention this before we go on. And behind him is a big arrangement of Pussy Willows. Just, you know,
I think it's stupid that this is not the first time I have had an immature giggle fit. Take a look. Step part two. I know you got it, but. All right. Sorry. In Buffalo, New York, the Dingus Day capital of the world, however, today there was actually a demonstration called. They held a Pussy Willow Pride rally, and if you notice, there's a sign there that reads, Cooper is a pooper, a saying which, by the way, I found funny in third grade, and I still find funny to this day. Cooper, pooper. Anyway, what actually makes me sad about this is that I really hope those people at that demonstration say, no, I was not calling Dingus Day stupid. There are tons of quirky and little-known cultural and religious celebrations in this country, and I enjoy them. I think it's cool that we have them. I think it's part of what makes this country so great. Because I was legitimately sad that I upset people in Buffalo and elsewhere. I invited the co-founder of Buffalo's Dingus Day celebration, Eddie Dubashevitz, onto the program. I spoke with him just before airtime. Mr. Dubashevitz, thank you very much for being on with me. I just want to explain and make sure you understand that when I said it's so stupid, I was giggling and I was talking about myself giggling yet again, because this has been an ongoing problem where I've broken out into ridiculous, childish giggles over you know, words that I should not be giggling over. And so that's what I went when I said this is so stupid. I was not calling Dingus Day stupid, and clearly a lot of people in Buffalo and elsewhere believe that I was. And so I want to apologize to them and try to explain that was my intent.
Well, I guess it could be worse. I guess instead of breaking out in giggles, you could break out in hives, so I'm glad for that. Second of all, although you have upset many, many people here in Western New York and throughout the land, we accept your apology, Mr. Cooper. Graciously, we do. We understand that Dingus Day and the rituals and the little quirky things that are associated with it are ridiculous. We don't make any bones about that. We are very, very aware that chasing someone around with a pussy willow branch is not a normal thing to do, that it is kind of silly, and squirting each other with water is just as silly. But it's much more than that. It's an ancient ritual that Buffalonians have adopted as their own.
It looks like a lot of fun, and I, part of the thing that makes America great is all the different groups that are in the United States and all the different places that people come from and the traditions they bring with them and the celebrations they have. We should be celebrating all these different groups' cultural celebrations because I do think it's what makes the United States fun.
As a gesture to prove that we are genuine in our acceptance of your apology, I personally would like to invite you on behalf of Dingus Day Buffalo and really on behalf of the entire city of Buffalo to come to our festivities next year, and you will be the very first ever Pussy Willow Prince. We will crown you as the Pussy Willow Prince.
Are you trying to make me
Dingus
giggle
Day
again?
Festival. You will I would
to
make you giggle.
I would love to be the Pussy Willow Prince, and I don't think I've ever said that before, but I would love that.
Yeah.
I don't want to promise because with my new schedule, things change, but as the date approaches, let's talk this time next year, and I will make every effort to come and to celebrate Dingus Day. That would be great.
Thank you, Anderson, and thanks for the opportunity to promote this throughout the land. Thank you.
I think that's enough of that. I think people get bored. I think people get, they have a dingus day. They come up with some strange thing, you know. I think that people like to party. People like to go into the streets and raise havoc and everything. It's happened here in San Luis Obispo. It used to, you know, revelry and good times. But people, you know, any excuse. I mean, why would we have a Mardi Gras parade here in San Luis Obispo, California? What sense does that make? But we had one, and then people were having too much fun, I guess. And so they said, okay, that's enough of that. So that's kind of what happened with that. All right, I got to check in with one more person today because I'd be remiss if I did not. And that's the wacky world of Jeannie Moose. And so she's...
Did you buy a...
She's a... Oh, listen to this.
...monitor or notebook for your home?
She's trashing Donald Trump.
You may be owed money from a $1.1 billion settlement fund. File a simple claim today and get up to $25 or more. Purchases by residents in 24 states and the District of Columbia are included. Act today. File a claim online at www.lcdclass.com.
There it is, www.lcdclass.com. And it's a class action suit. I just got a check for $3 from a class action suit. What did you expect? More? Yeah, that's Bill. It's Bill's life.
The Donald better duck.
His bombshell announcement.
The bombshell seems to have landed on Trump.
Donald Trump's a circus act.
I believe we have the footage of the announcement of Trump making it.
From a gorilla on Jon Stewart, Trump was morphed into a donkey by the New York Daily News. His offer of a check to charity.
For $5 million.
If President Obama would release school and passport records... reminded the folks at College Humor of a certain someone.
$1 million.
And presto changeo, that Donald was Dr. Evil. There were counter proposals, some too raunchy for the news.
$1 million actual dollars, if you will let me.
And I said, hey, Don, I'll give you $5 million if you release that thing on your head. Let it go.
On Jimmy Kimmel's show, that Donald ended up playing the great Trumpkin in Charlie Brown's Pumpkin Patch.
What's that?
A check for $5 million.
Huh? What the f*** was that?
But the one that was almost painful to watch, the one that had to hurt the most, came from an old friend of Donald's.
I'm going to say it to his face. Donald, you're making a fool of yourself.
Soon Donald was tweeting at Barbara Walters, you just don't get it. He suggested she'd end up apologizing to him. Why did you choose me as one of the 10 most fascinating people of the year? From one top 10 to another.
The number one lame October surprise, Donald Trump offering $5 million to unearth anyone who still takes him seriously. There you go.
But Trump insisted.
The response has been unbelievable.
And I've had tremendous praise for the most part.
At least Ann Coulter came through.
I totally love it. It's completely showboating, but I support Donald Trump in this. We need somebody like Donald Trump on our side.
So far, the only thing released by President Obama was a zinger when Leno asked him, what's with you and Trump?
This all dates back to when we were growing up together in Kenya.
Yeah.
Between the president's mockery and Barbara's scolding.
Stop it. Get off it, Donald.
Get off it before you get taken off, a la The Tonight Show.
If he gives his passport application.
Jeannie Moore, CNN, New York.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Wonderful world, wonderful world. Have a really wonderful weekend, would you please? Good. Have a nice time. Relax. And we'll be again on Monday at noon. Until then, let your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear from them, because
this is Talk is King. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy Friday.